We're continuing our sermon series on dirty, rotten scoundrels. How many of y'all have ever felt, now I won't make you raise your hand, but just the question, too broken and too messed up for God to use? During this series, we're going to be talking about a number of people in the Bible who were broken, they were messed up, they were outright scoundrels, and yet still God worked in, through, and sometimes despite them, but God made a difference in the world through them. So now last week, Kim was here and she talked to you about Samson, so y'all didn't get to hear from me how much I hate Samson. And it gives me great hope to know that God can work in and through even Samson. And today we're going to be talking, though, about another scoundrel. And actually, this one I kind of like because I can kind of resonate with him in some ways. Not the trickster part, but the questioning part, and that's Jacob. And we're going to be talking about how God broke through Jacob's self-sufficient ego in order to use him to bless the nations. So I'm reading from Genesis in the 28th chapter, beginning in verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. He reached a certain place and he spent the night there. And when the sun had set, he took one of the stones at that place and he put it near his head. Then he lay down there and he dreamed and saw a raised staircase, its foundation on earth and its top touching the sky. And God's messengers were ascending and descending on it. And suddenly the Lord was standing on it and saying, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the lands on which you are lying, and your descendants will become like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west, east, north, and south. Every family of the earth will be blessed because of you and your descendants. I am with you now. I will protect you everywhere you go, and I will bring you back to this land. And I will not leave you until I have done everything that I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought to himself, the Lord is definitely in this place, but I didn't know it. And he was terrified and thought, this sacred place is awesome. It's none other than God's house and the entrance to heaven. And after Jacob got up early in the morning, he took the stone that he had put near his head, set it up as a sacred pillar, and poured oil on the top of it. He named that sacred place Bethel, though Luz was the city's original name. And Jacob made a solemn promise. If God is with me and protects me on this trip I am taking, and gives me bread to eat and clothes to wear, and I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. This stone that I have set up as a sacred pillar will be God's house, and of everything you give to me, I will give a tenth back to you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Jacob walked alone. He always had, which is kind of strange when you consider the fact that he was a twin. But even when he was in the warm safety of his mother's womb, Esau and Jacob fought. In fact, when they were born and Esau came out first, Jacob came out grabbing as hard as he could onto his heel as if to say, no way am I letting you get first place, boy. And two twins that were as different as these two would be hard to find. Esau was his father's favorite, a man's man, a hunter, and a womanizer. The women loved him. Jacob, on the other hand, was his mother's favorite. He hung out in the kitchen with her and all her friends. And can you just imagine what Esau's friends had to say about that? And from the very beginning, even in the womb and throughout their lives, they fought. Because, you know, to be the second son was to be a second-rate citizen. It meant he didn't inherit anything. And so Jacob got this sense that he was going to have to struggle and grasp for whatever it is he needed or wanted. And here's the thing about people who feel like they have to struggle and to grasp for what is needed. There are no lonelier people in the world than those that feel like the direction of their life and those they love is totally dependent on them. and Jacob walked alone. Now, he knew the stories. He'd know the stories of his grandfather Abraham and of his father Isaac and how God had made promises to them of they would have descendants and they would have land. But all they had at this point was they were nomads. They didn't have that land. And all of his many descendants, his dad had two boys that couldn't get along, and one kept bringing the wrong women home. And the other was a mess. And I think what it was is that Jacob was pretty much a smart, practical guy. You know, he had never met Benjamin Franklin, who came thousands of years later, but he would have understood what Benjamin Franklin said when he said that God helps those who help themselves, because Jacob was pretty sure that if anything was going to come to him in his life, he was going to have to make it happen. And so he set about to trick everyone in order to get what he wanted. So he tricked his brother out of his birthright, and he tricked his father out of a blessing. And as a result of that, he found himself on the run in the middle of nowhere. Behind him was the father who had died now and whom he never felt like had blessed him or loved him truly. His mother, who did love him, but he would never again see her alive. His brother, who wanted to kill him. And everything he had ever wanted, ever desired, was behind him. And in front of him was only God knows what. And he found himself in the middle of this desert, so tired, he took a stone and laid his head on it to rest. Which was somehow appropriate, because Jacob had spent his lifetime trading the good things in life for stones. And there in the midst of the place where he thought God could not be, because he walked alone, God showed up. Now, there are a lot of Jacobs in this world. Not all of them are as much of a scoundrel as Jacob. Not all of them are as much of a trickster. But there are an awful lot of people in this world who feel like they walk alone. They hear us talk about God and God's grace and how God's been at work in our lives, but they've not experienced it, and they kind of doubt whether it's even true because they haven't found it out for themselves. And there's a number of ways that they react to that. For some, they seek help. They'll go to their pastor or to a counselor or to a spiritual director and explore, how does God reveal God's self? Still others will read everything they can find, trying to discover how it is that God speaks to people. Still others will stay away. They will say, I've not experienced it. It must not be true. All this God talk is foolishness. And yet others will come to church week after week after week, and they will sit in the pews and the chairs, and they will listen to the rest of us talk about God's love and God's grace, and they'll wonder if they'll ever have a chance to experience it for themselves. And they watch, and they listen, and they pray. You see, we were created for relationship with God. There's a theologian that said there's a God-shaped hole in all of us, that we were created to want to be in relationship with God. What's more, if we're really honest, we know how broken we are, and we know that if we don't have God's help, we can't do it on our own. And we don't want to walk alone. And while there's some voices in our culture would say that's foolishness, that people really don't feel that, that that's somehow something that the church has made us feel or think, all you have to do is turn on the radio and listen to some of the songs to realize that this is a longing in the heart of so many. Just some examples. Hank Williams, I'm so lonesome I could cry. Eric Carmen, y'all remember him, All by Myself. I don't want to be all by myself. Green Day, I Walk Alone. Sometimes I wish someone out there would find me. Ben Folds 5, I don't believe in God, so I can't be saved all alone as I've learned to be in this mess I've made. And more recently, Sarah Bareilles. She's imperfect, but she tries. She is good, but she lies. She is hard on herself. She is broken and won't ask for help. She's lonely most of the time. People who are crying out and saying, I'm in a mess, I'm broken, I'm stuck, I'm alone, I want someone to reach out to me, I want to know that there's something beyond me. Because there is something within us that needs that. It's called the human condition. If you take a disciple Bible study, every week you have a human condition. This is our human condition. We are broken and we need help. We're in a mess and we need deliverance. We need God. And I think that's why Jacob's story is so important to us. I mean, he wasn't much of a role model. He was a sneak. He was a trickster. He was pretty much a coward. And he was more willing to make a deal with God than to trust God. And yet, in the moment in which you would think he was in the most God-forsaken place, and he was too broken for God to speak to, God comes to him. God comes to him. He's in the middle of this desert. He has this beautiful dream. He has a dream of a staircase. Some translations say a ladder that goes between earth and heaven. And God's messengers, God's angels are going back and forth. And in the King James Version, it says that he sees God at the top of this ladder. But scholars will tell us that the word that's translated on top could also easily and just as well be translated beside. And I have this vision of him looking at those angels going up and down that ladder and then suddenly feeling an arm going around him and realizing that God was right there all along. All along, God was right there. And God says to him this, he says, I am with you now. I will protect you everywhere you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done everything I have promised. Despite all Jacob had done, God came to him. And God used him for the blessing of the nations. That is tremendous good news, isn't it? It says to us, there is no place that is God-forsaken. There is no life that is God-forsaken. There is no way that we can be too broke, too messed up, too sinful for God to come to us. In fact, we know it's good news because in the Gospel of Matthew, we're told that the angel came to Mary and she says she will have a child and that child will be named Emmanuel, which is God with us. In Jesus, we got a sign, a living, breathing sign of God's presence with us. But our problem is, and it's a very common problem, is that we tend to look for God in the big events. We tend to listen for God to shout at us. And while God sometimes does really amazing, huge, miraculous, supernatural things, God most often speaks to us in the common, everyday things. He speaks to us in the phone call we get from somebody who just says, I don't know why I'm calling you, but I just felt like you needed to know I was praying for you. He comes to us in hospital rooms and funeral homes and homeless shelters and refugee camps. He comes to us through the voice of small children and our beloved grandparents. He comes to us in ordinary, everyday ways, time and time again, saying to us, I'm with you, and I will keep my promises. A few years back, I got a message from someone who had been a member of a church I had served previously, and she was talking about how she had really been struggling. She felt like everything, I think she put it this way, everything was going wrong. But she was a single mom with small children, and so while she wanted to go to bed and pull the covers over her head, she couldn't do that. And so what she found herself doing instead was wandering through Walmart with the cart, getting school supplies for her children. All the while thinking, I can't do this anymore. all the while thinking, this is so bad, I want to stop. And then suddenly she heard the music. Now, this is not one of those magic things like in movies where all of a sudden there's music playing and people start singing. This is Walmart, right? There's music all the time. But suddenly she became aware of the song that was playing. And it was as if in that moment that the sky burst open and a ladder fell down from heaven to earth and God's angels were going back and forth and she could see that God was with her. And she said to me, you know what that song was? And I said, I don't know. And she said, it was Jesus, Take the Wheel. Now, I don't listen to country music. I had to go look these words up. Here's the words. Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands. Because I can't do this all my own. I'm letting go. So give me one more chance to save me from this road I'm on. And in that moment, Walmart became a sacred, holy, awesome place. Because God was there. And she didn't know it, but she knew it then. And she said to me, this is a quote from her, I know my faith will always be there because as strange as it may be, as it may sound, every time I think I'm ready to completely give up, something happens reminding me he is still here. God is with us, and God will keep his promises. And that is tremendous good news. And my prayer for anyone here who has been searching for that experience of God all their life, or for those of you who are just in those wilderness areas of your life that you feel like God is not present for you, my prayer is that you will hear these words and know that they are true. God is always with us. We never walk alone. And God will keep God's promises. And you can't be too messed up. You can't be too sinful. You can't be too broken for that to be true of you. And if you don't believe me, spend some time with your Bible. Now, there's one more thing I want to say before we finish up about this, and it's this. One of the things we can learn from Jacob is this. Anything you grasp, you will lose. Anything worth having, if you try to hold on to it and keep it to yourself, you will lose it. Jesus said, those who wish to save their life will lose their lives. For my friend that day, it was giving up and letting go of feeling like she had to be in control of everything. But there are other things that we try to grasp onto and act as if they're our own. And one of the saddest things that I think the church tends to grasp onto is the gospel itself. Like it's our possession. And there is a world of people out there screaming how much they need this good news. I mean, if a rock band can say, I wish someone would go out here and find me, the church should be busy going out there and finding these people. And sharing the good news that they are not alone, that God is with them. And if we can't prove it in any other way, we'll prove it by walking through their mess and brokenness of their lives with them. And when the church tries to hold on to the gospel and doesn't take it out to the people who need it, we lose it. And we cease to be the church. There are so many Jacobs out there that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and we are God's method of sharing it. And we need to do that because the world is screaming. They're crying out, and they don't even know what it is they're crying out for. God is with us, and because of that, we never walk alone. And that's the good news we're called to share with others. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are so grateful that when we are in those places that feel God-forsaken, when we feel lost and we feel frightened, we thank you for your promise that you will be with us always, that you will keep your promises, that we never walk alone, that we're never too broken, too lost, too sinful for you to reach down and speak to us and touch our lives. Help us, Lord, to remember that. And for anyone here, Lord, who does not feel that today, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will break through their walls and they will feel your presence with them. And Lord, I pray for the rest of us who have experienced that, that you will give us the fire in the belly to share your good news with others, to share what we have experienced with you with a world that is screaming out for you, that needs salvation, that needs direction, just as we did. And we thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son that makes all this possible. We pray all this, Lord, in your name. Amen.